4, Acts of Apostles, chapter 16, verse 16 through 34. As we were going to the place of prayers, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrate tore the garment of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordaining the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into their inner prison and fastened their feet in their stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and every bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought to them order and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took then the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Let us pray. Father, help us to understand. And I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, show us Christ through the preach of your word. That's my prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the book of Acts of the Apostles is a historical book of the New Testament. As we know, the book of Acts is the second book that the evangelist Luke wrote. There are many things we can learn and observe in this book. Among these things, we see the challenges, struggles, persecutions, and progress of the Church of Jesus Christ in its early days. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are separated and sent by the church of Antioch to preach the word. Paul and Barnabas preached the word of God in various places, planted church, and as a result, many lives were saved by the preaching the gospel. After a while, they returned and witnessed God's goodness during their first missionary journey. Soon after, Paul became eager to visit the church and see how they were doing. Thus began the second missionary journey around 49 to 52 after Christ. Today, this evening, we will learn about the challenges and privileges of the church. We know life itself will always be a significant challenge. Trials and challenges will be inevitable in the walk of the church. As a Christian, we need to know that the Christian life, in some moments, is not like a summer camp, or should be like living in the Mr. Rogers neighborhood, a lovely and beautiful place, as R.C. Sproul used to say. With the faithful witness of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we need to understand and be prepared to face the challenge. And let us not forget that amongst challenges, we will also be gifted by God with privilege that only His people can enjoy. First, in the Christian walk, is that we will face opposition. And the first is spiritual opposition. The text that I read tell us that while the apostles were going to the place of prayer, a woman with a spirit of divination appeared for many days. She repeated the same thing. These men are servants of the Most High God and proclaim the way of salvation to you. Brothers and sisters, the Greek word for spirit of divination is literally, in the verse 16, Python. It represents within Greek culture the name of mythological serpent that dwelt in the Pythons at the foot of mountain Parnassus and guarded the oracle of Delphi. The Apollo, the Greek god, applied to kill that serpent who came to access her powers. So, subsequently, the word was applied to the soothsayers who claimed to be inspired by Apollo. In the oracle of Delphi, there were women, or Pythias, who practiced this kind of divination in the cult of Apollo. The Bible says this has happened for seven days. The Apostle Paul became greatly annoyed and rebuked the unclean spirit. Some believe that she probably spoke in the tone of irony or mockery. However, it would be plausible to understand that Paul's annoyance at this situation would be that girl's words would bring confusion or belief in the false concept of religion syncretism. Because of the expression used by her, Most High God, the city, the resident of that city, could associate with Zeus, the Greek god, known as the father of all gods and humans. Also, this god was known as the highest. So here we learn the first opposition we will have in the walk of the church, a spiritual opposition. We cannot deny that the spiritual battle is occurring now. The Apostle Paul had the spiritual insight that an unclear spirit was dominating the actions of that young woman. Many had been deceived by believing the words and predictions that this possessed young woman spoke, Paul does not want or didn't want the gospel be mixed or influenced by anything, nor by words of demonic origin. He wanted to maintain and preserve the purity of the gospel, or purity of the gospel. Among the many beauties, the many battles that have already happened, the most significant spiritual battle we have faced today is maintain the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without that, the purity of the gospel in preaching and teaching we will not be able to be effective in the work of God. As Jude said in his letter, beloved, verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about your common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, described this battle when he said, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Brothers and sisters, do you remember how Satan initially deceived Adam and Eve, twisting God's word? There is a battle for the truth. Today we live in a period called the war of narratives. Let us remember that girl was speaking the truth about the apostles and their mission. But behind that woman's speech was a demonic influence. Let us be attentive, because spiritual opposition will also pass us by. We must pray to God and ask for spiritual discernment when such matters arise. The Holy Scriptures will help us during these situations. The second point, the persecution will be sometimes moral and physical opposition. After Paul rebuked the demonic spirit, what happened? Did the people rejoice to see a soul delivered by the power of Satan? No, brothers and sisters, we should not expect the world which hates Christ Jesus and his word to rejoice with us in the face of biblical realities and the work of Jesus Christ. The owners of that young woman were angry with Paul and Silas, for they had wiped out their hope of gain. The Bible tells us the real reason for the anger of those owners. The Bible says because they lost their source of profit. It means they were lovers of money. They cared more about profit than the girl's life. The love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Having money is not a sin. Sin is loving money or anything else above God. Instead of revealing the real reason for the outrage that made them hand over their disciples to the authorities, they claimed that Paul and Silas were Jews and they wanted to establish their culture and customs. And as we are Romans, they would not accept that. Like I said, brothers and sisters, do you think the world system, the world system, this world where we live today will be satisfied or peacefully accept the gospel message that shows the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ? Of course not. While the world had presented the path of slavery disguised in the garb of freedom, pleasure, and a sense of peace, Jesus Christ came to the world to give true freedom from the power of sin. Remember, the Bible says that those who you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Brothers and sisters, there will likely come a day when we will be physically persecuted. That might happen. There have been murders and persecutions of Christians in several countries. Correct? Moreover, this does not just happen in the Middle East, North Korea, China, Syria, as we think. Some Christians are persecuted and murdered near us, as in Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, even in Canada, United States. Brothers and sisters, even if the persecution rises against us, we must believe the biblical truth written in Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Why? Because we have peace with God. The world and hell may be at war with us, but if we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, everything will be all right. See what the Bible says in Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in prisons. I would say prices, but prisons. Brothers and sisters, challenges are a reality in the church walk. However, we have received great privilege from God. Let us see verse 23 from the Bible, Acts 16:23. The order, what was the order to give the jailer keeper to keep him then safe? The jailer should be responsible for keeping him imprisoned and responsible for their lives. That would mean the jailer would pay for his life by failing this mission. This happened in Acts 12. Remember, when Peter was arrested and the Lord God sent an angel to free him, and the guards who were supposed to keep him imprisoned were killed because they failed in the mission. Then to the prison, they were tied feet and put in the dark prison. And the Roman prison usually had three distinct parts: the comuniore interiore tulamiano. It's not bad, my Latin, right? Where the first one, comuniore, where the prisoners had light and air. Interiore, which was shut off by strong iron gates and had bars and locks, and the Tulliano, or danger of executions, where prisoners condemned to die were confined. Even in a hostile environment, something happened. Paul and Silas were singing and praying around midnight, and the prisoners listening to them. So what were they doing? They were singing and praying. The Bible doesn't say what sing or what the prayers they were saying. However, through Paul's letters, remember Paul's letters, we can understand how they view that moment. The letter to Philippians, remember, Philippians was written 10 years after that moment. The main idea of the letter to Philippians would be to encourage believers to persevere joyfully in the gospel, despite present difficult and painful circumstances. Express confidence that God had completed the good work begun in them. When Paul wrote the letter to Philippians, remember, he was in prison in Rome. The same situation happened here when he was preaching in Philippi. In the Philippians letter, Paul says, verse 29, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." If you receive the privilege, the gift of believing Jesus Christ, suffering for the sake of Christ Jesus will also be a gift from God to us. We know that the most of the hymns that we sing, they were composed within a context of pain and suffering. How is that possible? We don't like to suffer, right? But they could see the beauty of Christ Jesus during their suffering, because those people knew that it was a privilege to serve for Christ. May God help us, brothers and sisters, to see such sufferings that we go through as a gift from God. The second privilege that we receive from God is to preach the word. The verse 26 until 34. The Bible tells us that there was an earthquake, and the other prisoners were listening to the praise God. The Bible says God used an angel to release Peter from prison, remember? But now God sends an earthquake to deliver the disciples. Probably in that prison had never witnessed prisoners worship God. The gospel's message through the praise and prayers were more powerful than the earthquake. And we learn one thing: we cannot miss the chance to preach the word of God, brothers and sisters. Did you know we evangelize when we come to the church on the Lord's Day? Because people outside, they witness us that God is the main reason for our life. When our neighbors look at us, look at you, come to the church with joy and pleasure, that's supposed to be, they may think there is something different. There's something different there. Why do they do that every Sunday? Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege to preach the gospel. We can see through the scripture that God calls us to preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When was the last time we preached to someone? When was the last time we talked about Jesus to someone? We need to understand that there is something greater than ourselves. We need to bring the banner of the gospel of Christ, whatever we are. But suddenly, the earthquake came. The foundations shook. Everyone's doors and chains fell, and everyone was free. The jailer stands up and sees the doors open, were open, and believes all the prisoners have fled. And he thought, the jailer, of thinking his own life. He would receive the punishment of death for letting the prisoner escape. The death sentence would be the only answer in the jailer's head. He took the sword and wanted to take away his life. However, a voice cried out from the darkness saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." One thing. The most fantastic supernatural act here was not the earthquake, but the lives achieved by the gospel message. Many people look for miracles and supernatural manifestation. However, there is a lot more powerful than seeing the Red Sea being opened, seeing the dead man resurrecting for after 4 days, or witnessing the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. It is more powerful and incomparably better than all these things. It is having the human soul redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. I would like to draw your attention to the earthquake, not from outside, but from within. Why didn't those prisoners run? Why didn't they take the opportunity to run away? That's our chance, run! They couldn't have done that, right? But however, the physical chains fell at that moment, but the good news of Jesus Christ held the prisoners. The jailer could not understand what had happened. The jailer thought he had no way out, that the answer to that moment would be to take away his own life. He was about to do that when Paul cried with a loud voice. Listen this carefully. For those who are here and for internet, if you are listening to me here, or if you are nurturing thoughts of suicide, or if you are thinking about taking away your life, sometimes thinking there is no solution for your situation, listen to me, listen to the gospel. Do not harm yourself. Please do not do that. Talk to elders, talk to pastor, but listen this, there is hope for us. There is hope for you. Death will not be the final solution. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was God's perfect solution for your soul, for my soul. You still have hope. Your hope is called Jesus Christ. Do not harm yourself. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. The jailers like heard that testimony and story of Paul and Silas and about the message they preached. After the earthquake, after everything that happened there in the prison, would be necessary to preach the word? Of course. Because miracles does not have the power to save anyone. What has the power to save? It is the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The jailer and his family heard the word of God. Soon after, the jailer and his entire family were baptized. The fruits of the new life they received from Christ Jesus began to manifest. These fruits can be seen when they tend to disciples' wood. Realize that, brothers and sisters, the fruits of sanctification are already visible in that family's life. If we have been justified by faith alone, let us walk like those who were declared righteous by God. If God has rescued us from the darkness into the light of Jesus, let us walk as children of light. We cannot forget that we have been predestinated for good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Brothers and sisters, in the work of the church, we will have opposition in various ways. However, we will have the privilege to serve for the Lord Jesus and to preach his word. Moreover, we will live forever with him. At the end of it all, that is our hope. And may God bless us. May God help us and bless us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing the last song, Psalm 16. number 16, letter A.